It's good to be here this evening. Good to see all of you. Turn over to Psalms chapter 43, please. Psalms chapter 43. I don't know how everyone else feels about the temperature in here, but it feels cold to me. I don't know, it seems like one of those days I just can't get warm for some reason. But it feels cold to me, so let's get warmed up. Psalms chapter 43, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in the book of Psalms. And so we're going to go through this chapter right here, and it's got five verses. And we're going to take a thought out of verse number 3. David says, "O send out thy light and thy truth." Send out thy light and thy truth. What we want to think about, I'm going to point out to you three places that the truth and the light of God will lead you in your life. Three places that the truth and the light of God will move us to. If we have the truth and the light of God in our lives, it's going to move us in a certain direction, and it did for David, and we will look at those places in just a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for all that you've given to us and blessed us with, Lord. We thank you for giving us mercy and grace. Thank you for bringing us here this evening. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to know you. And to love you, Father, we pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit and give us what we need here this evening. You know the hearts and minds of each and every person here, and you know what they need, Father. So I pray that you'd speak to them and do the work that needs to be done. Our faith and our trust is in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 43, we'll read all five verses. David says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I a mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." We see here in this chapter that David is in a dark place. David is in a place where he doesn't know where to go. He doesn't have the direction that he needs. It's times of uncertainty in this chapter for David. He needs clarity. He needs direction. He doesn't know where to go. He says that he's in the midst of an ungodly nation. I'm not sure if he's talking about the nation of Israel here, or if it's a heathen nation that he's surrounded by. But this is the state and the place where David is at in this chapter. And he asks God, he says, "Send forth thy light and thy truth that they can direct me and show me the way, because I don't know where to go. I don't have any direction in this situation that I'm in. I need some help. I need some light. I need some truth." And if there's ever a time where we need light and truth in this country, it's today. It's in our lives. It's not all about this country, and I understand that, but we need light and we need truth. Now, it doesn't exactly say what David is speaking about when he says, "Send out thy light and thy truth," but in the Bible it tells us what the light and the truth is. Okay, David says in one of the Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's light in the Bible. Amen. We need the Word of God to lead us and to guide us and direct us in our lives. Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So he says, not only is the Bible light, but the Bible is truth. So David says, I need light, I need truth. The light and truth is the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. Or I am the life. A little bit later he says, I am the light of the world. So you have the written Word of God. That's light, that's truth. Gives us direction in our way. And then Jesus Christ is the incarnate state of light and truth. In the New Testament, we find out about that. God Himself is light, the Bible says. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We see light shows up in the second verse, either the first or second verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Right? God said, let there be light. Now, I always wondered what that light is. I don't know if you guys have thought about that, but the sun and the moon and the stars in the scheme of creation doesn't show up until the fourth day. So God says, let there be light, and there was light. What kind of light was that? Well, maybe it was God Himself. I mean, I don't think God's creating Himself, but God is shining light into the dark world that's there. Maybe it's God Himself. I don't know, but my point is, all of these things that we're talking about, light, truth, those things, they have to come from somewhere, not me and you. They can't come from human beings. Some people think that they're really smart and they've got all the truth and all the light there, but that's not where light and truth come from. Light and truth comes from God. It's a supernatural thing that you and I need. You and I are finite creatures. We are in need of direction. We need something to guide our way because we're lost in this world without some light, without some truth. And David is just in this place and he says, man, I'm in a bad spot here. I'm in some dangerous times. I'm in the midst of an ungodly nation and there's all kinds of things going on here. And I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to follow the Word of God. I need some light and I need some truth here. He starts doubting himself. We'll look at here in just a few minutes. He's kind of doubting himself. He's saying, where's God at in all of this? You know, I'm trying to do right, and where is He at? Why are you casting me off? And so he needs some light and he needs some truth, and that comes from God. As I told you last week in our Thanksgiving message, he says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. That's where light comes from. If you need something, if you need some light, ask God for it, and He'll give it to you. It comes from God. So that's where David's at. He says, God, I need you. God, I need the light that comes from you. Now, what about us here today? We live in a dark world. Amen. We live in a dark society. Amen. And it's getting, unless God intervenes, unless God's mercy and grace intervenes, it's going to get darker. Amen. It's going to get darker and darker. All right? I mean, you look around, we live in like a culture of death. It's a culture of death. I mean, I never thought I'd saw the day where there's just like mass shootings and like, well, there's another one. You know? Well, who got shot today? Who came in and shot up this place? Why are they doing that? Why do they do that? I'll tell you why. Because they have a darkened heart. That's why. According to USA Today, the 307th mass shooting occurred on the 311th day of this year. Man, that's bad. That's bad. We live in a dark world. We live in a dark time, and it's only getting darker and darker. According to the Worldometers, that's a website, 40 to 50 million abortions happen per year, and 125,000 per day worldwide. In the U.S., there are 3,000 per day abortions. We live in a dark time. Now, we can say all kinds of things like we need laws for this and we need laws for that, and I'm not knocking that. Yes, we might need some laws to help, but that's only scratching the surface. I mean, you're only dealing with the symptoms whenever you start making laws like that. You know what we need? We need God. We need some light. We need some truth. We need something on the inside of us. I mean, I hate to say it, but I believe that the state of our nation today is, you can, I mean, it's the churches. Man, there's not a whole lot of light and a whole lot of truth being preached from churches today. And we're just reaping the benefits of 30 to 40, 50 years, however long it's been since the church went to pot. You see, that's what happens. When a nation forgets God and rejects God and rejects His Word, you only have darkness to go to. That's all you have. You don't have any other alternatives. Either you have darkness or you have light. There's nothing in between. And if you reject the God of light, if you reject the Bible, and you don't get born again, you only have darkness to deal with. That's all you have. So David is here, and he says, man, I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go, and I'm in the middle of an ungodly nation, and what I need is not more religion. He says, hey, I need more religion. No, that's not what he says. We need more laws. Nope, that's not what he says. He says, oh God, send out thy light and thy truth. That's my only hope. God, you're my only hope. That's all I've got. And I need it. That's what we need today. Even in Christian circles. We need life. We need light. And we need truth. Oh God, send out your light and your truth. Illuminate our hearts. Illuminate our minds. Amen. Let us know about you. Let us see you. We want to know you. That's what we need here today. We need light and we need truth. Let's look at three places in which light and truth will move us and bring us. David says, your light and your truth, it moves us. Look at verse number 3. It says, let them lead me. Let them bring me to a place. I need to go to a place whenever you come in contact with the light and the truth that can only come from a supernatural God. You're not going to stay in the same place. You're going to go somewhere. It's going to move you in a certain area. He says again in verse number 4, then will I go unto the altar of God. He says, I'm going somewhere. And this light, this truth is going to move me in a certain place. Number one, it will bring you to a place of judgment. A place of judgment. Number two, it will bring you to a place of worship. And number three, to a place of joy. Whenever you have the light and the truth of God, the first thing that it brings you to is a place of judgment. Did you notice the first words that he said in this psalm? He says, judge me, O God. Judge me. He says, I want to know from you, God, if what I'm doing is right. He says, I want you to judge me. He says, I'm in the middle of an ungodly nation, an ungodly situation. I don't want to compare myself to the culture and see if I'm doing right. I want you to tell me if I'm doing right or not. Not the culture, but you, God. I want you to tell me. Now, I'm trying to do right, he's saying. I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to do all these things. Please tell me, judge me, let me know what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. Tell me, God. Amen. Is that your prayer here this evening? Yeah. God, I want you to tell me what to do. God, I want you to show me. Judge me, O God. The first place that God's truth and light moved David to was a place of judgment. When everyone else was doing wrong and he was doing right, he asked God, he said, Lord, I want you to judge me. We see there that he's having doubts and second thoughts. He's doubting if God is there to deliver him. He says in verse number 2, why dost thou cast me off? Why are you doing this, God? Why are you casting me off? He's questioning if it's worth all the suffering that he's doing in this situation that he's in. He doesn't see that God really cares and sees his suffering. In his prayer, he uses two legal terms when he asks God to judge him. Verse number 1 says, judge me, O God, and plead my cause. David asked God to judge him. He says, God, what is your assessment of me? Am I doing right or am I doing wrong? He doesn't say, God, judge my neighbor, but leave me alone. He doesn't say that. Amen. Of course, other times he does, but this time he says, God, judge me. Look at me. What am I doing? Many times we sit in church and we hear a message, we hear something preached, and we say, well, that's for my neighbor over there, but not for me. our thought and our heart ought to be when we come to the preaching of the Word of God. And we come to the Word of God, it doesn't even have to be preaching. You can come to the Word of God, come to the book of God and say, look, God, judge me. What am I doing? What's your assessment of me? Where do I need to get right? What do I need to change in my life? Judge me, O God. Let me know what I'm doing wrong. David asked for God to be his divine judge because he knows God is the all-powerful sovereign of the universe. And he says, man, if someone's going to judge me, I'm going to go to him. I'm not going to the culture around me. I'm going to him. The next thing he says is, plead my cause. He says, Lord, am I doing right? And if I'm not, be my advocate, please. Plead my cause. You know we have that in our God. Amen. Our God is our judge, but he's not only our judge, he's our advocate. He's going to stand there. He's going to be our go-between between us and God. David needs an advocate. He realizes that he's guilty before God, but he says, man, God, I want you to plead my cause as well. I want you to be my advocate. I want you to be my defense attorney. He says in verse number 2, thou art the God of my strength. Man, he's come to a place of judgment, a place of judgment. We live in changing times, don't we? Well, we could say with David right here, we could say, look, God, we're in the midst of an ungodly nation. We're in the midst of trials and tribulations, and we see all these things going on. Not just abortion, not just mass shootings, all kinds of things in our nation. Boy, don't compare yourself to the culture. Don't say, well, look, everybody else is doing it, and I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm a Christian, and I'm doing pretty good. So I'm going to judge myself by the culture. I'm going to judge myself by what everybody else is doing on the outside. Well, that's a dangerous situation to get into. That's a dangerous way to be thinking. You shouldn't do that. Go to God and say, look, God, judge me. Judge me. Let me know what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. We ask God to lead us to the truth about ourselves. And that's what this book does. It leads us to the truth about ourselves. It tells us exactly how we are. Boy, I remember whenever I first started reading the Word of God a few years ago, man, I started reading that thing, and man, it just pointed things out to me. Just showed me. It was like a mirror. The Bible said, it says in James, it says that the Word of God is like a mirror that we look into, and it shows us the truth about ourselves. Amen. Boy, I start reading the Old Testament and all those laws that God had put into place and all of those commandments, and I said, man, that's me right there. I'm guilty of that. I've done that. I have those kind of thoughts. I have those kind of tendencies. That's me. It's all, you know, it's just like a mirror. Man, judge me, oh God. And when we do that, man, get right. Get right, repent, and come to Him. I read a story about this man, or this judge named Justice Horace Gray of the Supreme Court back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He once said to a man that had appeared before him in one of the lower courts and had escaped conviction by some technicality. He said to this man, he says, I know that you're guilty, and you know it. And I wish you to remember that one day you will stand before a better and wiser judge, and there you will be dealt with according to justice and not according to law. You know what? People think that they're getting away with things right now. Boy, they got off on a technicality and they think they're pulling the wool over God's eyes and they're going to get away with the things that they're doing, but one of these days they're going to have to stand before the judge. One of these days. How about, man, you think of all the heinous crimes that have happened all throughout history. Adolf Hitler and all these people, man, they did all these horrific things. Man, they're not getting away with that. They're going to have to stand before God one of these days. And you know what they're going to get? They're going to get justice one of these days. There's not going to be any mercy there. Well, if you want some mercy and you want some grace, you better get it right now. Amen. You better be asking for God for grace and mercy right now, because one of these days, it's not going to be there. There's just going to be justice. There's no there. You get to the great white throne judgment, and there's no mercy there. Time for mercy is right now. Amen. And David says, judge me, oh God. Man, that's the time to do it right now. It's not when it gets too late and then you already messed up your whole life and you're down to the end of it saying, oh, God, judge me. Hey, you still can, but man, it's better to do it right now. Do it right now. God, how am I living my life? Am I doing things that I ought to be doing or not doing things I ought to be doing? You know what you need to do? Or what happens many times? We just ignore God. We just ignore what His Word has to say. That's all you got to do anyway. Just ignore it. Just ignore it and go on your happy way and forget all about it, all that God has done for you, and then you'll remain in the dark and you'll keep on headed down that wrong path. You'll just keep on going. That's all you have to do. But what is, you know what, you just come to God as a beggar. You don't have to come to God as self-righteous. You don't have to come to God as some kind of good person. You don't have to do that because none of us are anyway. None of us are good people. We come to God as a beggar. Hey, Lord, I need something. I need some mercy from You. I need some grace from You, and You'll get it. When we do that, when we have that kind of attitude and we have that kind of heart coming to God, you know what happens? It drives us to true worship. That's what happens. You know, self-righteous people that are depending maybe on their religion or on their own goodness or their baptism or something like that, they can't worship God in truth. They can't do that. You know why? Because there's too much of self there. There's too much self-righteousness there. That's my next point. When we come to God and we ask God, saying, God, judge me. God's truth and God's light sends us to a place of judgment. And when we see that and we get to that place, we come to a place of true worship. True worship. Because if there's a bunch of self in there when we come to God, if there's a bunch of self-righteousness there when we come to God, we can't worship God in truth. Did you know that was the problem with the Pharisees? The problem with all of these religious leaders in God's day, they couldn't worship God in truth because they were self-righteous. There was too much selfishness there. The next place that God's truth and light brings us to is a place of worship. We see that in verse 3 and verse number 4. He says, "O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." What are those places? That's God's designated places of worship. After David asked God to judge him, the next place that he goes is to a place of worship. God's light and God's truth will bring us to a place of worship. He says again in the next verse, unto the altar of God. So David goes to a place of worship. These are Israel's designated places of worship. So David knew that God's light and God's truth would lead him to a place of true worship of God. That's why all the heathen nations that were around Israel could not worship God in truth. They weren't at the right place. They had too much of themselves involved. They were idol worshipers. You can't worship God in truth if you're worshiping idols. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. Amen. You and I need to come to a place of true worship in our lives. He says in Psalm 15, verses 1 to 2, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Now listen to this verse. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who's going to stay there? Who's going to be in the tabernacle, the holy hill, the designated place of worship? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. It's a heart condition. How's your heart here this evening? How's your heart here this evening? You have to have the truth of God in your heart. So David wanted to go to the house of God, where the presence of God was found, where the people of God are found. John Wesley conducted an open-air service in a little village in Cornwall 200 years ago and said concerning the same, I preached Christ, our wisdom. You notice he didn't preach nothing about man. He preached Christ, our wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. I could not conclude till it was so dark that we could scarce see one another. And there was on all sides the deepest attention, none speaking, stirring, or scarce looking aside. Surely here, though in a temple not made with hands, was God worshipped in the beauty of holiness. Well, that's great. We come to this place of worship. What do we need? We don't need a bunch of self We don't need a bunch of self-righteousness. We need Christ. We need Jesus Christ. When we are actively seeking light and truth from God, it will lead us to a true place of worship. It will lead us to the house of God, to the people of God. True worship. Do you ever notice whenever people decide that they want to live a lascivious lifestyle or a sinful lifestyle, what do? The first thing they do is drop church, don't they? Well, they don't want to go to church anymore. They try to avoid the people of God. They try to avoid the house of God. What do we need? We need true light and the truth from God. The house of God should be a place where light and truth is welcome, shouldn't it? That's where it ought to be, that we ought to be able to find truth and light. Church should be not just be another entertainment venue. It shouldn't be that. Now, that's the way it is in a lot of churches. I understand that. But that's not what it ought to be. Hey, we got plenty of entertainment out there. We don't need any more entertainment in the house of God. We need true worship in the house of God. We must strive, you and I, to put aside our abilities, our intellect, our strengths, our talents, and be willing to let God be our judge and defender and worship Him in truth. You know what? You know that's why Jesus Christ derided the Pharisees in His day. He says, "Ye are they which justify yourselves, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." What was their problem? Boy, they were full of self. They were full of self-righteousness. So God is the house of God ought to be a place where God is exalted and lifted up and where the truth is welcomed, not where man is worshipped, but where God is worshipped. Because man worship happens outside of these doors 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. God ought to be worshipped in the house of God. We must come to a place where the flesh, sins, selfishness of man are sacrificed on an altar, and we give ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. That is authentic worship. That's authentic worship. So God has a place where He will meet His people, doesn't He? Where truth and light are found. That's authentic worship. So when the true worship of the true God is found, it will lead us to a place of true joy. And that's what David found in this text. And did you notice we're always going through these chapters here at the end of the chapters. Boy, about 95% of the time you always find David's happy at the end, isn't he? We always find joy at the end. So God's truth and God's light will lead us to a place of true joy. Did you know why people can't find true joy? Because they don't have the truth and the light of God. Man, the truth and the light of God will lead you to true joy. Says in verse number 4 and 5, "Then will I go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God." He says again at the end of verse number 5, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." All throughout David's troubles, his trials, his tribulations, his doubts, his fears, all of those things, he says, at the end of it, you know who is my joy? What is my joy? It's God. God is my joy. He didn't say happiness, but he's my true joy and happiness. Now that doesn't mean that David didn't have any problems. That doesn't mean that David never had any doubts. We just read about him here. But yet, you know what he's doing? He's encouraging himself in the Lord, and he's going forward. He says, "Man, I still have joy right there. Because of God." You know, go through this life and you'll run into disappointments all the time. You're always going to run into somebody who's going to disappoint you. You might even disappoint yourself. And let me rephrase that. You're going to disappoint yourself. There's not a constant thing in this world that never changes. Everything's always changing except for one thing. That's the Word of God and God Himself. That doesn't change. We can get true joy from God. He isn't just the source of joy. David says, He is joy. He is joy. So David is encouraging himself in the Lord through every difficult circumstance and trial of life. He says again in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. You want true joy? You have to get it from God. Now, you can find some temporary happiness in this world. Yes, you can do that. But you're not going to find true everlasting joy except through God. One more story. A man named Robert Rainey, he was also known as Principal Rainey. He was a Scottish minister in the 1800s. A child once remarked about him that she believed that he went to heaven every night because he was so happy every day. Mr. Rainey once used a fine metaphor about a Christian's joy. He said, joy, he said, is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. You know what makes a Christian truly joyous and truly happy? Hey, when Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne and he's king. That's what makes true joy and true happiness. We got a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be joyful about, don't we? Even in the midst of difficult circumstances, we have plenty to be joyful about. Hey, we have God who has set his affection upon us, God who loves us, God who has given us his grace and his mercy toward us. Man, he's given us all these things. The Lord was the king of David's heart, and he rejoiced. We can be joyful today, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, because God is on the throne of our hearts. He's the light of the world, and he's the light of our hearts. That's why we come to church, to be reminded about what God has done for us, to be reminded about God's love and his mercy towards us. His life is full of ups and downs, but yet the truth of God remains constant. God's word is not going to change. So we have all these things to be joyful about. I'm reminded about the disciples when they came to Jesus Christ and they were joyful about the wrong thing. Now, it was a good thing to be joyful about. But they came to Jesus Christ and they were so joyful and they said, look, Lord, we are so happy and so joyful because even the devils are subject unto us. We can cast them out. The man that made them so happy and so glad, you'd think Jesus would rejoice with them, wouldn't you? He didn't. He says, well, that's great, but yes, but rather be joyful because of this fact that your name is written in heaven. That's why you need to be joyful. That's the real reason why you need to be joyful. You and I can get joyful about a lot of things. You had a grandbaby, you had a child, you had all of these things, but yet be joyful because your names are written in heaven. That's the reason to be joyful. That's the reason to be joyful. We have God's favor upon us, and the Spirit produces that favor, that joy on the inside of us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Where are you at in your spiritual journey here this evening? Where has God's truth and light led you to? Where has it brought you to? Has it brought you to any place? Does God's truth and light move you to these places? We live in a dark, wicked world, and it's getting darker and darker and darker. And we need the light and the truth of God to lead us and guide us and direct us to judgment. Hey, self-judgment. What am I doing wrong here? Am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something right? Look to God's word to judge you, to a place of worship. Hey, true worship. Not full of ourselves, but full of God. And then, man, that last place, a place of joy. Has God's truth and light brought you to these places? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for all that you've given to us, blessed us with. Lord, we thank you for your truth and your life. Light that you've given to us, you blessed us, sent that to us, Father. We thank you, God. We don't deserve it, but Lord, we thank you for giving it to us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes focused on you and on what you've done for us and where you're going to take us. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.